Willkommen bei Remote Leadership, der zweiten Staffel des Chief of Anything Podcasts von und mit Michael Porz und Christian Kohlhof. Wenn dir unser Podcast gefällt, darfst du uns gerne mit einer 5-Sterne-Bewertung unterstützen. Wir freuen uns auch sehr über deine Rezension unseres Buches Chief of Anything und auf deine Teilnahme in unserem Chief of the Year Remote Leadership Programm.
Hello, Barry.
Hi, Christian. Good to see you.
Hallo Cristiano. Hey Barry.
Hi,
nice
Michael.
To have you on the show.
Yeah, thank today you. In our show, Barry Gallagher. Say, Barry, who are you and what do you do?
Oh, who am I? What do I do? Yeah, I live here in Germany. I work with Vodafone Group. I have been doing for over 15 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm originally Irish, but I've lived outside of Ireland for 30 years, and I've lived in a number of countries, worked in a number of organizations, lived in Sweden, Slovenia, Spain, and now I'm living here in Germany. Yeah, married, 3 boys. That's me.
Yeah, nice to have you in the show today. So you said you lived in different countries. Our podcast is about remote leadership. And I think living in a different country is as remote as it can be.
Yes. I mean, in my role in Vodafone, I work in what is called an area around device management. And I manage relationships or strategic partnerships that Vodafone has in other countries. So my diary can get quite varied. So I manage partners for Vodafone in countries like Oman, New Zealand, Kenya, Ghana, Iceland. So it's very varied.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you travel a lot.
There was a time I used to travel a lot, which is one of the major parts I actually do miss, because obviously meeting people from different cultures is something I really enjoy. And this was really one of the great things of the job. But obviously, like us, but particularly in our area, we've had a big adjustment in the last 2 years because we're not traveling and meeting our customers in these countries.
It's interesting, because when I think about Vodafone, so it's a backbone of technical infrastructure, which helps me to not travel in the first place. You traveled a lot. So when did remote leadership start for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. You know, we do, of course, like to promote stay connected anytime, anywhere, any place. But obviously, through our partnerships and, you know, that we built with suppliers and our customers, you know, we would meet them once every 3-4 months. And given that I was managing multiple partners, we did travel quite a lot. So when COVID started, yeah, what is it now? Almost exactly 2 years ago, incredible. Yes, you know, it was a big adjustment for everyone. But I do have to say, within Vodafone, I think we were better prepared. I think through tools and how we work in big open office landscape, we already had a lot of the IT tools in place, although we had to improve them during COVID as well. So, yes, we were, I would have to say we were well prepared, but we had a lot of adjustment to do as well.
So when did you have your first video call?
I mean, prior to it, we were doing quite a number of calls, but they were largely, I would have to say, internal. Mm-hmm. That worked okay, but, you know, what can I say? We did have we might go every 1-2 months for team calls where we're in different locations. We might meet in London, or we might meet in Luxembourg, or, yeah, different locations, which were, you know, face-to-face. And that all changed, and we went to, video. But, yes, I was doing video calls 3-4 years ago. Already, but and we had these special pods on our campus for doing large video calls for teams, but we had to adjust a lot when everybody then was working from home.
I remember that was even 10 years ago. There were the first video booths.
Yeah, we
have, that I have ever seen were in a Vodafone office. They looked very futuristic, and they had a big TV inside and the full sound set up. So it was quite spectacular back then.
Yeah, I mean, and it worked really well. But that was really for, you know, let's say one team in Dusseldorf talking to one team in the UK, or one team in Hungary or Italy, and they were all really, that system was really just built for internal calls and not for calls with our external partners.
I'm curious, you know, with the changes that happened and with the obviously Vodafone having a great technological foundation, as you said, you were well prepared or better prepared than maybe other businesses. So what are the most radical changes to how Vodafone is run? I mean, that's a company with, what, 80,000, 100,000 people working for it worldwide?
Yeah.
So massively big organization, lots of people, big offices and all of that. So what are the most radical changes in terms of remote leadership that are commonplace now and that used to be not there 2 years ago?
I have to say now, you know, and even compared to organizations that I spoke, I think we've done a lot and we have changed a lot from how we even were working together at the beginning of COVID as we progressed through COVID. Obviously, everybody is working from home, and that obviously has an effect on people's internet connections. But Vodafone, I have to say, did a lot in terms of, you know, reaching out to employees to see how they were in terms of their mental health, their physical health, and also providing, you know, we did a lot where I think the employees felt well connected and well cared for.
Yeah. How did that go specifically? So this sounds wonderful, you know, reaching out and caring about people's mental and physical health in such a big place. So what did that entail specifically?
Well, I mean, sometimes there were even small things. Let's say we tried to kind of do, I mean, at the beginning, there were maybe too many calls. So let's say, you know, you meet all your team, and we had virtual coffee breaks at 2 o'clock, maybe, you know, we would all get together after lunch together in the can, and we introduced a daily virtual coffee break. Or also our team meetings we tried to make them shorter but more regular, so we'd have a team call maybe every morning, but we didn't expect everybody to join. And then we introduced things from HR where, you know, in terms of, there was online yoga programs that Vodafone subscribed to, and people could actually join that. And there were a number of initiatives also. Every 1-2 months, there was an online survey to every employee that really asked them, how are they? What is working well? What is not working well? And what would you like? How can our company support you? And that really did help. People felt connected, people felt listened to, and a number of things did happen. You know, let's say at one stage we introduced, there was a company-wide ban of calls between 12 and 2 o'clock. So everybody at this, because we are in different time zones, we tried to kind of introduce that people could have lunch with their families and not just, you know, going into your Microsoft and Outlook and introducing times at any time. So that worked well. And also just during, because we have quite a number of big teams, sometimes there can be 100-person calls. And we try to, and you probably know this a lot, but it is different when people are all dialing in online. And, you know, some people not dialing in with camera. And you want to get engaged with these people. You want them attentive. You want them listening. So it could be a call, and it's not that often, but let's say there's a business unit, our consumer business unit, and that could be with different locations, and everybody gets to listen to the top senior management. And yeah, these would have been one day events before we made them shorter, but we had surveys we had quizzes and little games where we used, you know, online tools like Menti and Slido, where a person would make a presentation and you would do at the end a little question and you do a little prize and you try to keep it very interactive. And that worked well because, when you're hosting a call for 100 people and you're doing it online, it is challenging. Mm. And I think we did a lot of effort there. And when I talk to some of our partners in different countries, I believe we've managed quite well compared to many.
While we do not yet know what the new normal eventually is going to be and when it's going to be, what are the methods and tools and processes and ways of doing things of the recent years that you would not want to miss again in the future? So let's say if one day we maybe go all back to the office, who knows if that will happen and when and how. But what is the stuff that has come out, that has emerged in the past 2 years for you where you go, no, this is actually really cool how we're doing it now, and we got to keep this in the future? What's here to stay?
I definitely think in many ways it's here to stay.
All of it?
Not all of it, but I think overall, even us, I think we are surprised how well it worked.
Mm.
Now, of course, there are things that did work, but we are overall surprised how well it worked. And I think it suits some more than others. But yes, we have so many colleagues that have a large commute to their offices. And, you know, you're living on the outskirts of Dublin or outskirts of London or the outskirts of Madrid. We have a lot of employees who actually have been doing 1-2 hour commutes every day.
Fine.
And now this new change has helped significant to improve their work-life balances. A lot of people, colleagues, and I'm sure you've met them yourself, you know, now they may only have to go into the office 2 days a week or maybe even less, 2 days a month. And now they considered buying a home in an area that was maybe 2 hours outside, which is more affordable. And
right.
And that is that they enjoy that. And I do find at the beginning, what was very challenging for us was that our diaries were back to back from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m, meeting after meeting, video call after video call. It was just too much. The spontaneous wasn't there. You couldn't walk up to a person's desk and say, hey, I've got a problem. Can we sit down and talk about it? So it did lack, the spontaneity did go, but you got a bit of it back. You did get it, you got into it. And I found, you know, meetings that used to take place, meetings face-to-face that used to take 1 hour, when you do them online, they take a half an hour. Why? I think for a lot of meetings, people came better prepared, better organized, more structured. And actually, some online meetings were working much better than they were previously.
Yeah.
You know, of course, it's not all good. You miss the personal contact. We're social persons. We need that bond. We need to build trust, particularly if it's in our sales teams when they are, you know, you want to meet somebody, you want to see that person face to face, you want to shake their hand. Yes, we've got a deal.
Yeah.
So that can be challenging. Other challenges are also still, if we look at, you know, I met my manager for the first time 18 months ago, or sorry, just 2 months ago. But
so you met your boss only 18 months after he became your boss?
Yeah, I met him for the first time.
Yeah.
And He wasn't as tall as I expected. I think, you know, sometimes you
that's
think
the main thing in Zoom. Huh?
Yeah, you think your boss is going to be this
of a different height than expected.
I get the opposite. You know, whenever I show up now in person for the first time after months of Zoom meetings, I didn't think you were this tall.
Maybe it's because I'm Irish. I'm not as tall as, and I expect everybody to be much taller. I meet my manager. We're not that. He's not so tall. But then he even says to me, "Oh, Barry, you know what? It seems I've known you all along. You know, but now we just meet. It wasn't that big of a deal, I have to say. But I still think just one of the points that I know we did a little check. Hiring people is okay, but the turnover of new hires is much more than previously.
Ah, okay. That's a change. Yeah.
So, and it's particularly, I would almost say, call it in the staff or call it the entry segment, young people. So we believe that, I think one of the things managers need to watch out for is particularly around, you know, the team building, particularly for new people that you've hired. You know, you need to reach out to them, motivate them more, because it is a challenge, I believe, for us that we need to look out for.
So thank you, Barry. I would like to get to a bigger picture now, perhaps, in this discussion. So you are from Vodafone, and Vodafone helped me to lead my first company, my Kiko di Café. So because without mobile phones, it wouldn't have been possible to have a business model like that. So with coffee bars all over Germany, and so the main tool I used was the phone. And we started Kiko di Café in 2003. So I had my first mobile phone, I think, in 1994 or so. So it was pretty new technology and state of the art. And then smartphones eventually arrived. So what kind of business models will be possible in the future with all the stuff we have in place now? We haven't had 2 years ago. Also, thinking of mindset, thinking of technology. Do you think about stuff like that? Or do you know that Vodafone is thinking about stuff like that? So facilitating even crazier business models than possible up to now.
Yeah, I mean, I think Vodafone is, you know, obviously we are providing the technology to enable a lot of companies to do new things on our networks. Mm-hmm. And yeah, to answer your call, you know, just to partly answer your call, we are also completely re-looking at how customers, you know, make purchasing decisions now, because yes, now more and more we see people want and need a better online experience. So if you look at Vodafone in Germany, we may have 1,500 stores, but you know, still I think compared to an online experience, it's a lot that we have to improve at, and we have to look at a lot of how we interact with our customers on a sales, but not just on sales, also in terms of our customer experience, customer operations, and we do that more and more online because we know increasingly our customers are looking for that. They have their comparable experiences on Amazon and other platforms, and there's where we actually have to adjust. And also companies that are partners, that they come to us, they're coming to us with new services, new products that we plan to expand to give our customers a better online experience. So yes, I mean, how I try to answer your question is we notice a big shift in customer behavior and customer willingness for doing things online, which was not there before. And that does create a lot of opportunities for us, for companies, but also for a lot of our partners, where we have to increasingly, how can I say it? The technology, the platform that we are building has expanded incredibly. So more and more, we have the importance of our broadband technology for our customers has got so, so important. So there's a big pressure on us to support small startup companies in a bigger, broader areas, not just on fixed, but also on mobile, to give them a better experience. And that bandwidth requirement has just exponentially exploded. Mm-hmm. That we had not forecasted, you could say, maybe 2-3 years ago.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I could feel that at home. When my kids are streaming on Disney and I want to work on my laptop and then my wife is on her phone, and although we have a 250 megabit line, I can see and hear when it just stopped.
I have a 1 gigabit line, Michael.
Oh, okay. I need to move house to get it to an area where that is the case, or wait for the 5G network that hopefully then will deliver that. Hey, I have an entirely different question, if I can jump into the people part.
Please.
Of remote leadership. And because what's so intriguing about the conversation with you and Vodafone, and you know, as you well know, I used to work with Vodafone myself, but that's more than 10 years ago. Here's the part that I'm curious about now. You know, back then, when it came to the big senior management engaging with all the people around the world, almost 100,000, I believe now, there were two things that I remember that worked well for me when I was an employee. And one was, there were the annual or twice a year emails from the top. So the CEO would write a message to everybody. And I always enjoyed those because they were well-crafted and to the point, and then explained what's going on. And I always absorbed them. And then the other things were these road shows, you know, where one or two or three of the big wigs would travel around the globe and hold town hall meetings in the offices, and they would be on stage for questions and answers and to give an update on what's going on. There were big shows with light and sound and a lot of hoo-ha. So, you know, I'm curious, in a big organization like Vodafone is, how is that being managed now? And, you know, how does leadership happen on that great scale?
Yeah, I mean, I touched on it earlier. What I can say is, there's a huge amount of attention to in terms of employee engagement and employee mental health, whatever. But those big meetings used to happen, as you mentioned, you know, road shows, the top management would visit each market every six months. But now, yes, what you have is, let's say, Nick Reed, who is our group CEO, quite often, actually pretty much very on a regular basis, he would do a half an hour, let's say, webinar, where he would invite a CEO, and it's usually for 15 minutes to a half an hour. And it's very regular communication. Once, twice a month, Nick would do a webinar. He would invite members of the management. And there's an opportunity. There's a Q&A at the end. So there's somebody hosting it. And that, I have to say, works very, very well.
Are those open to everyone or to a limited audience?
No, these would be open to everybody. So you could but it's a webinar. It's not like an interactive, like what, you know, something over Teams. It's a webinar. It's usually for 15 minutes, but quite often during it, there is an ability through a chat function to ask some questions. Obviously, you know, you would maybe have 40, 50,000. So there is somebody who is, let's say, filtering it. But often it is the group CEO, there's a new theme, there's a new service, a new results that is coming in. And it is broadcasted to the whole company. And I have to say, they work very, very well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. So, the future. How will work life and leadership life be different in 2 years?
I suppose, you know, if I would say something is that I think we all are looking forward, and we hopefully we're coming towards the end of COVID, that we get to see, I get to see my colleagues a bit more. I will get to travel a bit more. But ultimately, a lot of what we have done and learned through COVID, we believe is here to stay. That said, I think all, you know, and that is for multiple reasons. There are positive reasons, like in terms of how well we can work. We don't always have to come in and be together. And it can work much better. You know, Plato, what necessity is the mother of invention. And that has, it is very true. But I think in terms of leadership and managing teams, you need to make an extra effort in terms of how you try to build the bond within your team. There's a lot of what I would almost call the importance of authentic leadership. You know, you need to be sincere. You need to be genuine. Whether it's virtual or not virtual. But it's to build a connection and people feel open, people feel listened to. And it's just there's that continuous necessity requirement to have open feedback where people feel listened to, what's working well. Because a lot of what we did during COVID, it wasn't that we had a handbook and said, okay, this is what you do. No, a lot of it was learning by doing. And we continually were talking to our teams, continually talking to our accounts, how we can do it better. And that I believe was very successful. And I think we did a lot and we got a lot wrong. Yeah, we got a lot wrong, but people saw that we were making an effort to change. And we've made big improvements, I have to say. Mm-hmm. How will it look in 2 years' time? I think a lot of what we have already implemented will be in place, and we're introducing more and more what we would call hybrid measures, where people can work both from home and people work from the office. And it can be very individual. Some people need the separation more because maybe they're living on their own, where other people have families and they're far to travel a little bit, but there will be a lot more flexibility. And but there will be a kind of more of an effort where, yes, maybe once a month the team gets together. But the quality of the connection, the quality of the tools, the quality of the interaction, there is a lot of these tools that we've got in place that are working well that I believe a lot of companies don't have in place, because I talk with accounts and they do say, yeah, you're doing well. And that has been a big learning, I have to say.
Thank you very much, Barry. So to end this episode, I can fulfill a wish for you. And the wish is something like that. You send a message out and all of the remote leaders in the world can hear it. What would be your message to all of the remote leaders out there, or even to all the leaders?
Yeah, I suppose the thing is, embrace the new technology and the tools that are out there, because they can really help you. And it's to build this, what I would call an authentic relationship with your team. And that you need to build the bonds, you need to do that, even make an extra effort to reach out to your team more in a remote environment.
Thank you very much, Barry.
Thanks for coming by.
Have a great day. Great talking to you.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.
Das war der Remote Leadership Podcast der Core Academy mit Christian Kohlhof und Michael Portz. Willst auch du als wahrer Leader gerne deine Ziele mit mehr Leichtigkeit erreichen und ein Team aufbauen, das einfach funktioniert und motiviert ist? Dann bewirb dich jetzt für ein kostenloses Aufnahmegespräch bei uns unter core.academy/leader.